You have no mercy in your heart. Jealousy of the people in general, Bodha Asmi. I am the protector. King. Vipatanana. Bragging. Nashobase. You do not look very good. Vrita Shahasu. Any society of learned persons. Vrishta. Simply impudent. Translation. It is a fact, however, that these innocent people, carrying a palanquin without payment, are certainly suffering due to this injustice. Their condition is very lamentable because you have forcibly engaged them in carrying your palanquin. This proves that you are cruel and unkind. Yet due to false prestige, you are thinking that you are protecting the citizens. This is ludicrous. You are such a fool that you could not have been adored as a great man in the assembly of persons advanced in knowledge. Purport. King Yehudana was proud of being king, and he felt he had the right to control the citizens as he liked. But actually, he was engaging them in carrying his palanquin without payment. And therefore, he was causing them trouble without reason. Nonetheless, the king was thinking that he was the protector of the citizens. Actually, the king should be the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For this reason, he is called Nayadevata, the Lord among human beings. However, when the king thinks that because he is the head of state, he can utilize the citizens for his sensual gratification, he is in error. Such an attitude is not appreciated by learned scholars. According to the Vedic principles, the king should be advised by learned sages, Brahmins, and scholars, who advise him according to the injunctions given in the Dharma Shastra. The duty of the king is to follow these instructions. Learned sages do not appreciate the king's utilizing public endeavor for his own benefit. His duty is to give protection to the citizens instead. The king should not become such a rogue that he exploits the citizens for his own benefit. It is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam that in Kali Yuga, the heads of government will be plunderers of thieves. These thieves and plunderers will take the money and property of the public by force or violence. Therefore, it is said in Srimad Bhagavatam, Rajan Yer, Nir, Gurudev, Dasyu, Dharamabhi. As Kali Yuga advances, we can see that these characteristics are already visible. We can certainly imagine how deteriorated human civilization will be by the end of Kali Yuga. Indeed, there will no longer be a sane man capable of understanding God or our relationship with Him. In other words, human beings will be just like animals. At that time, in order to reform human society, let Krishna will come in the form of the Kali Yuga. His business will be to kill all the atheists because ultimately the real protector is Vishnu. The Lord incarnates and then sets things in order when things are mismanaged by so-called kings and heads of government. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yada yada yadam asyam yadam bhavati bhavata. Of course, this takes many years, but the principle is there. When the king or governmental head does not follow the proper principles, nature deals out the punishment in the forms of war, famine, and so forth. Therefore, if the governmental head is not aware of life's goal, he should not take charge of ruling the people. Actually, the supreme proprietor of everything is Lord Vishnu. He is the maintainer of everyone. The king, the father, and the guardian are simply representatives of Lord Vishnu, empowered by him to look after the management and maintain things. It is therefore the duty of the head of state to maintain the general populace in such a way that people will ultimately know the goal of life. Unfortunately, the foolish governmental head and the general populace do not know that the ultimate goal of life is to understand and approach Lord Vishnu. Without this knowledge, everyone is in ignorance, and our society is clouded with cheating. Okay, so here we're bringing up an element of rights. Well, it's a very popular topic. Probably to say extremely popular topic. is people are always looking out for themselves. It's all about my rights. What can I get? What is mine? What can I get benefit from any particular situation and from any particular person? That's what rights means, right? It doesn't sound very good, but hey, you said it has to sound good, right? Now, the idea that I have rights, we put that all in nice language, but what that means, that you're only looking for rights, not obligations, now that is the great weakness. Why would modern society be about rights? It's not even modern means not dated. Let's start with that. It doesn't matter the time. Here we're talking about who knows how long, you know, thousands, millions of years ago. It's still modern. Modern means it's not dated. That's it, simple. So it basically comes down to Vedic, theist, not Vedic, atheist. That's what the purport is bringing out here. So, this idea that it's about my rights rather than about my obligations, then this is the modern disease. Because it's about myself, it's centered on myself. It sounds very glorious. I say rights. What will happen when I say rights? Everyone becomes inspired because they think I would get something out of this. But why am I saying it? Just what I'm going to get. But by saying it, everybody else says, I'll get something. They support. It looks really good. It works nice. It's a great political platform. But remember, it's a political platform, not spiritual. It's nothing else. It's just political. But it's not devotional. It's not spiritual. It's not even religious. It's just political. Right? So, here, then, Lubina was fault-working on that platform. He has rights. I am in charge, so therefore I have rights. I can tell anybody to do anything that I want. That's my right. But, John of Arc's pointing out is rights come up when you're performing your obligations. Obligations are performed when you have knowledge. Right? Rudina doesn't have knowledge, therefore he doesn't know about obligations. Therefore, his feelings of righteousness, that meaning of gratefulness, are wrong. Right? In other words, Baba said, first deserve, then desire. Right? So it's a standard thing. Right? You want something, okay, you want to buy something, you have the money, you can buy it. You don't have the money, then what's the meaning? You can say, my rights, I feel like it, I want it. Yeah, okay, great, pay for it. It's simple. Right? But, somehow on this emotional platform, we like to make it extremely cheap and unrealistic. Right? When it comes to money, we're very realistic, generally. But when it comes to emotions, then it's totally doesn't have anything to do with reality at all, other than just we're a soul, we want things. Well, that's real. That's true. But the point is if you want something, you have to be able to follow the obligations that you deserve to get it. Otherwise, if you don't, if it's just you want it and you take it, you know, it sounds all so nice and emotional, but the guy wants it, he goes into the shop and takes it. What do you call such a person? So if you emotionally want something, you're not willing to pay the obligation for it, that's stealing, that's a thief, that's a thief. Simple, right? What we have to always remember is the modern culture is very expert at using words ugly to make something not good or irreligious or atheistic sound. Very devotional, very spiritual, very uplifting, very special. But it's just a trick of Holly, that's all. That's his business. Right? He has his business, we have ours. Now, oh, it's Kali Yuga, what can we do about it? Okay, so if you want to be one of his assistants, it's probably called Kali Chamber, then go for it. Hey, he's happy. He is a Yuga avatar, pleasing, and he represents the Lord. So pleasing the representative of the Lord, then you're doing something. But then the point is what Kali Yuga. Right? That's the whole point. We have to be very, very careful about this because here we see this whole thing. Prabhupada is just talking about according to Vedic principles, the key should be advised, right? And according to instructions given the Dharma Shastra,
He doesn't say, okay, yeah, millions of years ago this should be.
He's talking about today.
Why? Because if you go, then the material energy will make its reaction. Arnashastra is only describing the Lord's rules of the creation. But because we think we're the body, and we want things other than what we're supposed to have, and because we're looking for rights rather than obligations, therefore, we try to put all these aside. We use the philosophy very cleverly. I'm not the body, I can do whatever I want. So, you're not the body, go to the store, steal something. You're not the body, Prabhu. So, you're not a thief. You understand? But say that, you say, that's stupid. But now apply that in any other situation where we say, we're not the body. That's not happening. It's not stupid. The point is we're not the body. So, therefore, the body, then whose body is it? Body is so the point is it belongs to Krishna. So that means we have to use it according to Krishna's. Right? If I'm using someone else's things, I use it according to their rules, not my rules. That's called a cultured person. We use it according to our rules against the person who owns it. That's not considered good, not nice. So here, this whole idea that it's just about rights, and because of rights, I can do anything I want, right? The end justifies the means. Because it's my rights, I can do whatever I want. These are all foolish conceptions. They have a basis, yes. The soul's trying to be happy, trying to find shelter. That's all good. But in illusion, they're looking in the wrong place. It's not going to come by these material arrangements. It's going to come by following Krishna's rules. As a devotee, then that's the natural thing to do. It's not about the rules, also. It's about because you're doing it to please Krishna. Someone who just follows the rules, just as you're supposed to, that's called a pious person. They're not called a devotee. Right? So when devotees say you have to follow the rules, oh, that's a smart guy. No, okay, yes. If it's not to please Krishna, it is. But the inverse of it, so therefore, since it's not about Krishna, therefore we don't have to follow that and also not be about Krishna. What's the meaning? Where's the joke here? What's going on? It's about trying to please Krishna. You follow his rules, it works. And these rules, at least on the basic one, it's just called the laws of nature. That's all. Scientists follow, modern culture has great faith in scientists. Because they say, no, you can't do this. Right? You let go of it, it goes down. Right? You put something lighter in it, like helium, it goes up. And we go, yes, yes. So then why would only some of these rules of God we would be favorable towards? Why not all of them? Why not if you're in a leadership position, if you don't take care of the people, it's only about your rights, not your obligations, people won't be satisfied. Not going to work out nicely. What about these things? Right? All these things, we talk about rights. Why? What's the point? Because someone's not following their obligations. That's all. Someone's rights gets covered because someone else is not following their obligation. And the fun part is the data comes. You don't worry about other people's obligations, you worry about your own. You're doing yours, then there's a chance others will do theirs. You're not doing yours, then. And you want to go about it and correct the situation, you have to go about it according to the rules, not how you like. You cannot wash your hands of blood with blood. It just won't work. We have to use the shastra. If we don't use the shastra, then it is a boat without a rudder. And boats without rudders are not famous for getting anywhere. Many circles is what they do. And little ones, little circles. Not necessarily cute little circles, but circles. So here is that the point is the Lord will take care, it will take time. And then in between these times, in other words, between now and the end of Kali Yuga, right? In other words, another 400 and, what is it? Oh, 27. 27,000 years, then that's where we try to do something. That's where we're given our chance.
it. We try to do things. We try to take what we're given and then follow it, give it to others. But in other words, yes, the Lord will take care. And in any case, the laws of nature are on the daily basis. Fucking here, so when the king that does not follow the proper principles, nature deals out the punishments in the form of war, famine, and so forth. Material nature takes care of us. It's not a matter of that. If the mind is so great, why are all these things so obvious? Right? Why are they so obvious? Right? It's just obvious that just things aren't going well. And so what does that mean? It means that the leadership is not following things nicely. We see that all around the world. It's not about the gases or whether, you know, there's, you know, too much methane gas coming from the cows. Or, you know, it's not about these things. It's about you follow the laws, it'll take care. You don't follow the laws, it just won't work. Now, why are we following the laws? Because of Krishna's laws. Why would we want to follow Krishna's laws? Because we want to please Krishna. Why would we want to please Krishna? Because that's our natural position, our natural relationship. So, out of affection for Krishna, we do what pleases him. It's a simple thing. So, Jayabhara is pointing out that the king is not qualified because he's not seeing in this vision. He sees in this vision, he'll be a great king. He doesn't see in this vision, he's not going to be a great king. The question is,
yes. Yes, you take a little bit from that. So it's all worked out nicely. Krishna.
See, the Vedic system is a system where you can, everybody, all the variety of mentalities can be accommodated. We say, okay, the modern democratic society accommodates, but in actually it doesn't. Is there any control? Which one is in the prominence? How does it work? Right? There's some tolerance. There's tolerance in that. As soon as tolerance is out of your realm of where you consider tolerable, there are riots. Right? And we're not just talking about some out of the way little third world or fifth world country. We're talking about first world countries. Right? What was it, 2 years ago? With riots in London. Just burning down there, just indiscriminately. People were killed, everything. And it was just people just, you know, not being happy. You know, of course the kids were having fun, but other than that, it was, you know, I mean, that's London. Right? So, I mean, we see all over it, these things happen. It's not, these are little phenomena out of the way. Right? You just have to understand is the reason you see a little less in the West is because there's less people. Right? And, you know what I'm saying? It says, you know, America has one third the population of India in three times the mass. So if you increase the population of America by nine times, then wouldn't there be riots? Wouldn't it be just funky, dirty, you know, like this would be not working and everything? It'd be just the same. Now in Miami, 600 people were killed or just lying around the back. Okay, yeah. And that's something right about it. Okay, that's something right about it. Yes.
This leadership syndrome that you described is sometimes even in this life, really is a major problem. Every day, I may see a leader who's not behaving in the office. I'm not asking how to get rid of them, how to run their own communities. If the same principles apply to us,
isn't it always?
The population case is difficult.
Yeah. It's like this. Let's say
you have a, you know, up
gross materialist, right? And they want to boil some potatoes, okay? So they take the potatoes, cut them into, you know, 1-inch squares, put them in a pot of water, have them covered with sufficient water, put it on you know, full heat, and let it boil for 20 minutes. Okay. Now, let us say a devotee is going, wants to boil some potatoes. How would he do it? Let's say he's an argument, he's a real serious preacher. How would he do it? Let's say he's an Uttama. And then Prabhupada, he wants to boil some potatoes. How would he do it? This is the sometimes overlooked point. It's the mechanics of the Lord's energy work the same no matter where they are. Right? What's being described here by Jayabara is a universal thing. He's talking about the atomic principle, the atomic theory, is that everything is just a transformation of Earth. Whatever you see, it's just Earth in various transformations. There's some uniqueness. This Earth holds up the ceiling. This Earth, you know, holds us off the floor below us. You know what I'm saying? But that Earth there allows us to see outside. What we're seeing outside is just more transformations of Earth. So with time, the atoms will naturally transform, and then they'll go back into Earth and transform into other things. You know, we call it composting, or how do you say, reusing things, or recycling, or like that. But that's the atomic theory. It's just everything's like that. So he's pointing out is we think we're something special, although we're just another transformation of Earth. It's not that our transformation of Earth is any better than someone else's transformation of Earth. So this principle, it's universal. So the laws of management apply. That's why Prabhupada says here, according to the instructions given in Dharma Shastra. This Prabhupada intends that we use that as a principle on how to understand how to deal. Now, of course, we're not in ideal situations, so you have to use whatever will work. You have to use alternatives or alternatives to alternatives. But the principle law, is the same. Just like you don't want to drop something because of the principle of gravity. Then you can hold it with your hands, you can put it in a bucket, you can put it in a wheelbarrow. You can do so many different things to keep it from falling. But if you don't understand the principle, you won't know what to do. So that's the whole thing, is that management is management. It doesn't matter who's doing it. The difference is the atheists do it for their own benefit, the devotees do it for the benefit of the Lord. But the mechanics are the same.
Schools been running for since I was involved since 82, so 30 years. Yeah, you're a day, the week, or you know, the month, you know, what time of the day, you know, what happened before breakfast or after? It can happen after breakfast on me, you know, because you know, I'm going to sit back and watch. Yes. Yeah. You sit there. You have to have people who have superstitions.
But the thing is that even in education, you're dealing with the broad range. You have, somebody was discussing the other day, you have the actual leaders, but then also just as important are those that can take responsibility and be guided by leaders. In other words, your lower rungs of management. You know, or lower rung just able to do things. It's, you can have a great manager, but if there's no one that's manageable, then it's still going to be a problem. So you're going to have, both will come out. So it's not that you might have 30 boys in the school, you're necessarily going to get 30 top leaders. Out of that, you may get one or two, and you get the next down, and the next down, like that. So you do see some. Chandra Shekhar is a GBC. He's been a GBC for some time now. So he was the head boy in the school during his time. So because he knew how to manage a wide variety of nations. So now he's able to function as a GBC, which is one of the, you know, largest notches in the world. So you do see others in their presidents or vice presidents or, you know, things like that, or project leaders. You know, when you have 400, if you only have a few here. It finally comes. If I could say, it's a slow process.
That's the whole point, is that what are you trying to apply? So the
difficulty in when we look at one is it's just like this. Let's say I give you a latest journal in medical science. Okay? Now I hand it out to everybody in the room. Who's actually going to understand it? The doctor. Right? Because other people, it's the words. But for the doctor, it has more import. So if we read mono and all we think about is cutting off fingers and toes, then that means that person should not have read it, because it does say the leaders. It doesn't say general populace. It is just like a book on mechanics. It's for the mechanics. And it's for the so leadership is modest for the leaders. So people read it and say, this can't be applied. Either they're untrained or they're not leaders, or both. So the point is what I said before, Chapter Dunyabhubhu, is it's the principle that you can apply. Because, see, is first it will present what's right. Means if you want to present something, a mechanical element, first I'll give the basics, how they work. Right? That's the structure. Then I will show your natural best options. Once that's understood, then I can show exceptions. So Mano doesn't talk about exceptions till the 11th and 12th chapters, the end of the work, the 12 chapters. So that means the first part is all about the principles and the ideal applications. So we have to be able to translate what does that mean. So it's not about this is this punishment, that's that punishment. From that you can understand what actually has weight as a sin and what has less weight. Like, killing a Brahmin is the most of anything. But then he also gives equivalent to killing a Brahmin, like killing a cow. Or, character assassination. That's equivalent to killing a Brahmin. Now, in modern, avant-garde, educated society, that's just how people talk as norm to speak. So their principle of just social interaction is on the platform of killers and the Brahmins. And that's just considered wrong society. That's my point, is that the non-Vedic doesn't really have a solid basis. We say it's practical, but practical in what? It gets some money, but how stable is that economy? Right? You know, we're in a recession now. It's not going up. You know, we happened well before, back in the 30s, you know, for about 10 years, you know. Like that. Until they started a good war, and then they kind of, got out. And now they started wars, but not necessarily fully. You know what I'm saying? So, what is so stable? What is the solidness? That's the thing. So, the Vedic principle is this. Here is showing what things are, what the comparison is, the relations, who should be doing what, on what basis. We have to understand the principles that are there. So, mana is the main shastra. There's nothing higher than mana. Now, Yajnavalkya and Parasara, they give some finer details that Mano already mentions, but further explanation for application of Kali Yuga. Because Mano is for all four yugas. Because that's why it's giving the principles. They always apply. Right? And they will naturally give things for when things are proper, but at the same time, they have chapters for when things aren't proper.
Thank you.
Okay,
so if someone else is not following their obligations, then do we have to, one, do we have to follow ours? And two is that, do we have to fill in for what they're missing? See, the thing is do you want to get benefit or not? The point is, you can get short-term benefit by not following and just taking the opportunity and grabbing it, you know? And so, took the opportunity, take the bull by the horns. The point is you have to be very careful on taking bulls by the horns, right? It means you have to, one, know how to deal with the bull and horns, and two, is that the bull that you're supposed to be dealing with? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, as we mentioned before. Is if it's not yours to deal with, if you're dealing with it, then that's stealing. It's not yours. So you have to see it. Just because others don't do, yes, you do have to make adjustment. That was the point we were discussing with Prabhu here, is that you have to make adjustment, but it doesn't mean that you don't not fulfill your obligation. As Jarabhana pointed out here, the highest point of obligation is the spiritual platform. Why are we doing this? Because we're dealing with these things together. So it's like you go into a kitchen. Now let's say I take somebody into the kitchen. Okay, and I show them around the kitchen. Okay, here's what the pots are. Okay, this is a frying pan. This is a saucepan. This is, a wok. You know, like that. Here's, some spatulas. Here's some spoons. Here's deep spoons. Here's a grater. Here's a knife. Here's a peeler. Okay, now is the reaction I'm going to get from the other person, the total aghast, I'm not this body to do, how can you categorize them? It's kind of like, what would you say? If there's a third person, you kind of turn to them and go, are these guys for real? Did they just escape from somewhere that we need to know about? So Jarabhana's pointing out here is that the bodies are just the same. They're just mechanical machines created by transformations of earth, and each one has its uniqueness. Now to say that the peeler can do what the spatula can do, or the grater can do, is that intelligent? So just covering it with a little philosophy and saying, well, not the body, how does that change anything? The point is everything has its uniqueness. That's why it's called unique. The term used in Shastra is specialness or Vishesha. Not low class, high class, it's Vishesha, uniqueness. So everything has its uniqueness. The grater is not better than the spoon. It has a uniqueness. The spoon can't do what the grater can do. The grater can't do what the spoon can do. So this idea that, no, anything can do what anything can do because we're not this body. Right? Are you this body? Are you the pot? So therefore I can use the pot for whatever I want. I have this nice, fancy, pot, so I can use it for driving nails or putting in screws or my bow with it, like that. Or, I can use it to jam up my car or, lift it up and underneath. It's got a handle with nice rivets, You understand? So all these things, that's what we're saying, they sound great because the modern culture presents them from the thing of that rights, you'll benefit, this is great for everybody. But it's not great for everybody, it's great for the person who's speaking it. That's it, that's where it ends. One or two other people might be able to take advantage. But the reason that someone is professing something is because they'll get a benefit from it. That's what the modern means. Modern means, the philosophy, the people who designed it, they make this very clear. It's about sense gratification, but if we only each work for our own sense gratification, the quality of what we're getting is very minimal, right? Neanderthal being the example, right? But if we work together for sense gratification, then we can develop the arts, the sciences, all these nice, fine elements, and everybody can enjoy them nicely. Now, we have to be moralistic in our interactions, but you don't have to be necessarily moral if nobody sees. Right? Therefore, what a man does in the privacy of his own house, it sounds great, All that means is I can get gross sense gratification from black people and other people in my house. When I go out into public, I should look like, you know, some people, right? But some people it's better than that, right? So that's the whole point. And then if people aren't inspired to be moralistic, then you throw them to God. Right? It is God, the supreme, so he knows and all this and that. So therefore then people say, oh, I should be moral. But it's not that they believe in God. They say, I'm not this body to be. It means they don't believe in another body. They really identify with it. Otherwise, why would they care? It's all about identification. So that's the problem is that the Vedic addresses this element that people are in the beginning going to identify with their environment. Now the question is do you want to identify with a first class environment called the mode of goodness, or second class mode of passion, or third class mode of ignorance? Mode of ignorance means what's right is wrong, what's wrong is right. Your religion becomes religion, religion becomes religion. Otherwise, why is it always religion is attacked? Because it's mode of ignorance. Only mode of ignorance attacks religion. Mode of passion doesn't attack religion. Because religion is what gets you profit. You know, no successful person is going to do that. So, in other words, the first step is identify, at least if you're going to identify with that matter, identify at least with what works in your goodness. And then from there, try to get the pure goodness by God. This idea is that I'm going to remain in passion, especially in ignorance, and that's fine. It's a perfect platform to perform devotional service from. It's like, where does it say that? What is the intent of these principles? It's not about the rules. Does that mean I can do whatever I want? No, it's not about the rules. Means it's not about the rules. The rules are only the medium of for bhakti. It's about bhakti, not about the rules. But let me say, see, it's not about the rules. So therefore, I can do what I want. Where's the logic there? Understand? That's the weakness of modern culture. It doesn't have a basis to use very strongly. We can engage in Krishna service, but what are we engaging? We're engaging the things of modern culture, not the attitude. If you take on the attitude as an identity, that's going to be passion and ignorance. And then that's not strong enough from the function. You want to use the things of the world. That's fine. Yukta means connected to the Lord. And Vairagya means without attachment. But if it's not because of attachment that I'm engaging, that's mixed devotional service. As long as it's yukta, connected to the Lord. If it's not yukta, then it's just using philosophy to get done for you. It's called cheating. Does that make sense? So in other words, if you want the benefit, you have to do what you're supposed to do. You have to adjust it to the point where you can function in the environment you're in. And so it may look quite different from a very traditional setting. But the principle has to remain the same. As soon as you lose the principle, you've lost everything. It's just like, let's say, I'm cooking. So cooking is application of heat to edible items to actually make them more edible. Right? Yes? Edible. You're edible? Heat? Yes. Okay. So, cooking means you're applying heat to items that would be deemed, food. To make them both more palatable and more digestible and, the whole like that. Okay? So, as long as you understand that, then you can cook in a five-star hotel. And you can cook on an empty can of beans on two grits with a few sticks of wood underneath. But you don't understand the principle of cooking, you will not be able to function in any of those spheres. That's the point. So if the principle is lost, you lose the whole thing. So people are fighting over details. It is the point of the Buddha.
It means the pose is now just me.
So being a parent, and you have the children, so then what's the obligation? Is in relationship to this. The obligation is that one's supposed to train them as well as one understands and can in, you know, what is the proper behavior, you know, as recommended by the Society of Charleston. So in other words, the element of correction is not, well, if I correct them, it's for myself, you know, or if I don't correct them, then I'm selfless. No, it's still about, it's not about the hazard of the or obligation to you. Obligation means it's something I'm supposed to do. So in other words, we're supposed to correct them, but we're supposed to correct them in such a way that they do better. So in other words, as the teacher, if we present it in one way, it didn't work, then it's our business to find a different way and keep trying different ways until we find the one that they can relate to and we get the results. That's our obligation. So you see, when it's put into that, and you're supposed to, and it's up to you to get them to understand, then automatically the element of the ego goes out, because it's like, I said it, they should understand it. That's false ego. But the point is, no, you have to keep saying it until they do understand. And if you're repeating it, you know, if they say, oh, you sound like a broken record, that means you have it shifted to the next. You're not trying a new technique. Does that make sense? Yeah, so in other words, the element of obligation, if we look at it very seriously, it actually does solve the problems. Because then that means we have to know who we are, who they are, what's the relationship, what is the natural, you know, duties. And then we have to see that we're performing the duties. And then when we perform them, naturally people respond. Okay? If somebody meets you and you smile, there's a good chance that they'll smile back. If you're grumpy, there's a good chance they'll be grumpy. Right? So the whole thing is you deal according to what you're supposed to do, and then you get the results. If we're not getting the results, generally means we have to keep trying till we do. So that's our obligation. We have to keep trying till we get the results. But within the scope of what's recommended. You know, it's just like, let's say, you're writing an article, okay, and you have all the content is there, the words are there, but somehow or another there's no proof. You know, no one, you know, it's like you read it and nothing. So what does that mean? It means your way, your approach, the voice you're using, or the particular vocabulary, you know, you can use other synonyms, the order of what you present the points has to be readjusted until it has meaning. Hemingway said in one of his books, the last paragraph, one of his most famous ones, he rewrote 54 times, one little paragraph. Yeah, and now it's people remember it and quote it. It took 54 times. You know, so that's the obligation. You know, as you mentioned, Dyson, you know, before was, you had vacuum cleaners, you know, you had Hoovers and this and that. Now everyone says, oh, did you Dyson rough? You know. You know, now it's like whoever, you know, who's sort of Hoover, right? You know, they say who's some IP, right? So FBI or something like that. But other than that, but he took 5,000, I think 200 or 300 tries to get his original model that was actually saleable. So that, you know, takes time. You have to do so. Now he sits there and goes, hey, I'm the master. You know, all you junk on the table, I bought you guys. I went out, I spent my hard labor, went and got in the car, actually drove out. You know, of course I didn't want to be responsible, but you know, after having worked that out, you guys would pay for that. You know, and so, but now I'm the master, now you better get together and become a workable, world class, you know, vacuum cleaner. We would say the guy's an idiot. But somehow or another, if those parts have jewels in it and they're conscious, then they say, no, that's the way it's supposed to be. But mechanics don't change whether it's dead matter or there's a jiva in the dead matter. The dead matter still works in the same way. Because we have to remember, your body and the body of your children are dead matter. So you as the soul have the obligation to deal with, to use your dead matter in such a way that it has influence upon the dead matter you call your children. That's what John Barr is talking about. because we always bring it back to I identify with the body, I am the body. Because when you're talking social this and that, unless it's on, because just Shastra says this, that's the safe place. Shastra says this. Oh, everybody, Shastra, well, we have to be practical. Practical what? Practical for the soul. How is practical for the soul if you don't come to Shastra? We may see it's practical for the body, but we're not talking. So we're talking about a whole different way of vision here. Is that the duties come along with it. We're the soul, we're playing this role, so we have to play the role, right? Otherwise, you know, say on stage, you know, Macbeth steps out, starts to say his lines, and the guy next to him, because this is the really good line, that he steps forward and says it. And it's kind of people in the audience will say, well, what's going on here? He's a real Macbeth here. You know, then while they're arguing and all that over that, then the third person steps up and he starts saying the lines. That would be a zoo, right? You know, but this is, we call this normal society. That's called modern. Yeah, this is a set thing, you know. This one says, you know, the best lines. This is the guy behind the curtain that gets stabbed, right? You know, this is, you know, Horatio's skull, right? It's not, you know, somebody else's skull, right? It's got to be Horatio's skull. Right? And so then it all works. So everybody, so the Vedic says, you're in this body now, you play this role, and then the whole pastime goes nicely. But if everybody wants to be the lead role, hey, you know, that's you see that, I've seen that in kids play, right? Until they work out who's the boss, you get a bunch of little kids, you know, 8, 10-year-olds, 9-year-olds, 6-year-olds, and the first thing they do is fight over, you know, who's the king, who's got the magic powers, who can fly, who can't. You know, once they get that all worked out, then the game works nice. But until then, it's a riot. So just because, you know, the body's got older, it's still the same soul, just older than now. And then somehow or another, now, oh, we don't do that. We're not childish. No, it's just big children. Just, you know, the boys have more, you know, they have little red buttons you can push and have a lot more effect than, you know, little wooden soul.
Hello, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
This is my family ancestors. And you see this moment in the world, right? And then it's become, it seems like this. I have that idea of pushing that. Maybe in the Vaishnava society, it's good.
No. Hey, when you say Kali Yuga, what does that mean? Who decided it's Kali Yuga? Yeah, that's fine. Let's take that principle, because your whole premise is based on that point. It's Kali Yuga. But the point is who said it was Kali Yuga? British Parliament? Right? American Parliament? You know, Congress? Maybe it was the French. No, don't do this I mean business. Listen to the point. Kali Yuga is an arrangement of God. So that means in Kali Yuga, God's laws still apply. Just because people don't follow them. Just like in a prison. Whose laws apply? The prisoner's laws or God's laws? The state's laws. The state, okay. Maybe if we go down to Panama, maybe it's a little bit less, but at least as long as they stay in the walls and only kill each other, right, and not the guards, then it's okay. Right? But the point is in the prison, when things are bad, it's still the warden's loss. And the warden gets the loss from the state. So this idea that, oh, we're in Kali Yuga, so these rules don't apply, that is the basis of a lot of misunderstanding, especially socially in our society. It's a very, very major point, commonly used, but common means mistake. That's why we use the term common. It's not intelligence. So the point is it's like this. If you're clean, and if you go out into the material world, do they have a problem with cleanliness? Let's say I go into a little old bazaar. Is it clean? Kind of. Let's say I go into a fancy mall. Is it clean? More. Let's say I go into a boutique store. It's more clean. What if I go into one of those high-end places, you know, on the, say, you know, Third or Fifth or Rodeo Drive or something like that? How clean are they? Okay, so now we're talking about the top class people. When you go into these high-grade people, that they only shop in those shops. What is their house like? Clean. What's their car like? Clean. What's their clothes like? Clean. What's their body like? Generally clean. So, why would that be a problem? Okay, now let's say the second thing. They have a work ethic. Okay? So, now, in this material world, in the regular Kali Yuga, do people have a problem if someone has a work ethic? Does a boss have a problem? No, the common man has a problem because you'll make him look bad because you're working in their mind. So, they'll get together and make some scam to get rid of you. Right? So, right? So you want to be down there grunging around there with the rats? Or, you know, you're talking about leadership. So, leadership, they can immediately see this guy has a work ethic. They're not stupid. That's why they're in charge. Okay, let's take the next one, respect. Okay, now if you can respect others for who they are, what they think, what they're doing, and everything like that, and, you know, you're willing to, you know, live in that live here, then does anybody have a problem with that? No, from the street guy on the street up to the top guy, they'll all appreciate someone who has respect, knows how to deal with others. Does that make sense? Okay, and you take performance of duty, responsibility, that you can actually do what you're supposed to do. You've been given duties, you take them up, you do them. Is anybody going to have a problem with that? Okay. And then sense control, right? If you're not sense control, then people don't like it. Why do they throw the guy out of it? What's the first thing you go for as a political candidate? Your opposition, what's the first thing you try to do? Show that he doesn't control his senses. As soon as you show that, the people, the old Reagan's right here. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. Then, that's what a Brahmacharya learns. So, where in the world, where in the universe is there a problem with this? So, this is universal education. Who's there? Yeah, look how wonderful. So this is how many.
The people who are signed up, however he may be wealthy, he's not a Vaishnava, so he's also not a, that's not a
good player. What's your point? What's your question? I just answered your question. Their answer, they're prepared to go out and be leaders of the world because most people aren't trained at all. Training is not in the skill, training is in you as a person. So if you as a person, seems like this, a guy who's actually in charge of the company, he will take anyone that has potential and train him rather than a guy who is trained that doesn't have potential, doesn't have character. That's hands down. Where'd the CEO start in the company? He started down on the floor, right? Doing little odd jobs, you know, the coffee machine and stuff like that. And then he worked his way up. It's not that he came to the company as well. The CEOs of the company are the guys with the MBAs. I don't want to blow your button here, but they're not the ones with the MBAs. The MBAs are by middle management. You come today, they're middle management. You come back after 30 years, they're still the MBAs. They're not the MBAs. Does that make sense? So the guys are the leaders. We're training leaders and people who can follow leaders. We're not you want shooters that are trained in a skill. That's another school. That's not this school. Right? In other words, that's also necessary. Train them in occupational skills. Do it. But then they'll be hired by someone. We're talking about the guy who's been hired. Does that make sense? It's another category. And if you say this stuff to people who are successful in the world, they understand it. The common person may not. The guru is not the common person. The
it's meant for training devotees and training those who can lead society, whatever capacity, even just leading their family. That would be a breath of fresh air. Just even that much. You know? Skill they can develop at any time. Because how many people,
the area where they got their degree is actually their job. Okay, if you're in IT, medicine, law, engineering, accountancy, then maybe you do it. But everything else that we call modern education, nobody that has a degree in that gets a job. You have a degree in let's say, literature appreciation. How many are journalists? Mostly it's there to improve the character. See, the Vedic university, the bachelor's degree is to develop character. Only the after that, the master and doctor level, that was for occupational skill. But they only, someone who had character, they were trained in that. Now the modern is at the bachelor level, you train them in skill. Where's the character training? High school? Yeah, so you get that in Google. Change the sign.
You have character, do you?
Sure.
You get the character.
By training under somebody and then appointing them for each other, using them.
So that was the thing, the emphasis was on character.
If you have character, skill comes. In other words, ashram is the spiritual, the varna is the vocation. Vocational supports spiritual lifestyle, not the other way around. If you don't have a job, you know, because that's your life, and then, you know, in between you're going to spend your time in your job. You know, in between is where your life is. The job gets the money from the life. So if you don't have a life, then, you know, it's pretty academic having a job. Yeah, we're already talking here about being just a dead body, so now here's a really dead body. The body's dead and the southern is even dead. So that's why you need to support that. Come close to your body, be the best way. Because service. Okay. Srimad-Bhagavatam-ki, Srimad-Prabhupada-ki, Sarva-Neta-Bhakti-Dhamma-ki, Sarva-Neta-Gauru-Dhamma-ki.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, 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 Hare